Hey, welcome to the program today. I got a verse for you, and then we'll get the show going here. I'm going to read Acts chapter 1, verse 6. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time return again the kingdom to Israel? That's an interesting passage there, and we could talk about that. But I want you to see that the apostles had questions. And there's nothing wrong with questions are a good thing. Mm-hmm. In today's program, we're going to deal with some questions. We're going to deal with some topics that some of you out there in our audience have sent to us, or let us know you'd like for us to deal with. And we're going to do that in the show today. I think you're going to enjoy it, so stand by. And welcome, everybody, to the show, Prophecy in the Spotlight. I'm Brother Dan Goodwin. Sitting here is the great Dr. Charles Hiltabiddle. And, Doc, we did a live show last night. I did a live show on YouTube. Folks, if you're watching by television, you ought to check out YouTube. All of our programs, that you like the one you're watching right now, are on YouTube, as well as some 15-minute clips and some live streams. You're missing a lot if all you're getting is the TV show. Now, I realize some of you that are watching via the television, some of you don't have internet, I understand. But many of you do, and you ought to take advantage of the many shows that are there. I did a live stream last night, and I came on. I said, folks, we're going to the studio tomorrow. Tell me some topics that you would like for Doc and I. Give us a topic for a TV program. And boy, did I get some talk. I got 12. I think we got about 15 things, Doc, that the people started. I mean, good stuff, too. Good topics.
Sure. Anything that's not good. People say, well, my question don't make any sense. If you've got a question, there are other people got the same question.
Yeah. Now, we try to keep stuff prophecy-related, yes, obviously, and we had a couple of questions that I felt really weren't in our genre here. Mm-hmm. But I thought instead of just doing a show on their topic, let's just hit a bunch of them because some of them you can deal with.
We're going forward. We're going, and that's it.
And I think this is going to be off the cuff for both of us because I didn't tell you because I don't know what we're going to do. I'm just going to look at the paper and start looking at. Things here. The first one I want to hit on wasn't the first one given to us, but I already have it open. And by the way, folks, if you don't have this book, some of the topics we're going to discuss that people asked us about are right here in this book called Bible Prophecy Terminology. This is the only book that Doc and I did together. And I think it's a great book. When you go to the beginning of the book, there's the table of contents here, and it's continued on the next page. Because there are quite a few little chapters here. Some of them are only a couple pages. Some of them are more. It's the table of contents in alphabetical order. So the first one on the list is Abomination of Desolation. And it just so happens that's the last one in the book. And you did this one, Doc. This was yours. That was one of the questions somebody wanted to know. And let's see, where was that? Who was it that asked that? Not seeing it here. That's probably on the other page. But let me see if it's over here. There it is. And I didn't write down who it was. So all that for nothing. Somebody asked, what is the abomination of desolation?
Well, it has to do with the temple and daily sacrifices. The sacrifices is called oblations. And the Bible says the oblations will cease because of the desolation that's coming. That's going to take place at the middle of the tribulation, mm-hmm, when the Antichrist, the devil, is going to be kicked out of heaven. You find that in chapter 12. And I think then in chapter 13, he's going to fully empower the Antichrist, and he's going to declare himself to be God. And so The desolation is whenever the Holy of Holies is replaced with an image of the Antichrist. and the oblations will cease because he says, I'm God, so there's no longer any need for you to bring the. Now, you need to understand, that's telling us that there will be another temple built because you couldn't have this event happen if there was not a third temple for the tribulation.
Yeah.
And we're hearing a lot today about the rebuilding of a third temple.
Yeah, and the red heifers is a pretty big deal.
The red heifer is part of that. They're getting ready, right? I don't know when. It was in the next couple of weeks or
Passover or beyond, they said.
Somewhere in the next 2 or 3 weeks, maybe a month at the most, they're gonna sacrifice a red heifer. And that's necessary, both the blood and the ashes. The blood is necessary for the dedication and the sanctification, setting aside the temple and vestments and instruments and all of that. The ashes are necessary for the purification of the believers that's going to participate. So the desolation of abomination has to do with a third temple being built, and the Antichrist then in the middle of tribulation declaring himself to be God, putting a stop to the daily sacrifices, and as a result, that's called the desolation.
Yeah. And I looked up desolation in Webster's 1828 dictionary. The act of desolating or destruction or expulsion of inhabitants. Destruction, ruin, waste.
Yep.
Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. Matthew 12, just as an illustration he gives here. Mm-hmm. A place deprived of inhabitants or otherwise wasted, ravaged, or ruined.
That's what
desolation's a bad thing.
It is. And coupled with what I just said a while ago, the middle of tribulation, that's when Matthew chapter 24 falls in, when he says, when you see this happen, you don't even go back in the house to get anything.
That's right here on the page that you wrote. Matthew 24, 15 and 16. When you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. In other words, so he's quoting from Daniel 11 here.
Yes.
The arm shall stand against his part, they shall pollute the sanctuary of strength, and shall take away the daily sacrifice, and they shall place the abomination that maketh desolate.
Yep.
There it is. And there's another verse in chapter 9 that talks about the oblation deceased, 9:27.
And of course, we know this is the middle of the tribulation. Even Paul writing in 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2 puts this in that order. But when this happens, Dan, that's the moment that the Jews that are living in Israel have to run for their lives because here comes the Antichrist crowd to kill them.
Yeah, and I believe he's going to kill them because the 144,000 just got saved.
Yes.
And they've been redeemed. They're the first fruits unto God.
And I think it's probably about the same time that the resurrection of the slain two witnesses. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot taking place at this time. Yeah. And the Antichrist is going to say, look what I've just done. And then he's going to come against God with everything he can.
I wonder if he realizes he just committed a boo-boo.
Yeah. he just signed his death warrant.
He just awoke a sleeping lion there. All right, so let's go to another one. Genders was mentioned by Miss Esther on the program.
What was that again?
She asked, where did the genders first begin taught? And you surprised me before the show. I was asking about this.
Well, first of all, gender started in Genesis, in the week of creation. God made the man and God made
the
woman.
Male and female.
I mean, there's your two genders. Amen. There are no other genders.
And what she's asking is, where did all these other genders, when did it originate?
Right.
Who started this?
On this side of the flood, at Babel, it started with the gods, false gods, and the false gods originally were transgender individuals. In other words, they were both male and female. Later, they came supposedly a split, and you have the male and the female, like the time of Babylon what was his name? I'm trying to remember.
Nebuchadnezzar.
You find on one side of the river, a mile apart, you find an arch or a gateway to the female god. And on the west side, on the east side, you then have the guy, the one for the Marduk, the male. And so They all started out, and so transgenderism that we're seeing today is nothing but a resurgent of the movement of Mystery Babylon in the end times for the tribulation.
And, you know, I never thought of it this way before until before the show. I mentioned this to you because mm-hmm. I didn't want to throw at you without giving you some warning, and this was one of them. And you just jumped right out. Oh, I'll tell you where that started. And yeah, I wasn't expecting that. That's just more proof of the fact that the end times is Babylon repowered.
Absolutely. And this mindset of transgenderism is really not new, but we're seeing a resurgence of that because the world is getting ready for the tribulation period. And if you've read chapter 17 and 18 of the book of Revelation of Mystery Babylon, this is one of the trademarks of the worship of actual mysteries of Babylon in its original days.
Okay. All right. So I hope that helps you, Esther. We don't want to spend too much time on this, but I think the important thing is in Genesis chapter 1 and 2,
yeah,
male and female created he them.
In everything.
God gave in the everything. Genders right
yes.
there.
Because God designed it so that between those two combinations, that species was able to carry on. But we need to understand this transgender thing that we're dealing with right now is actually a part of setting the stage for the tribulation. It's a part of that mindset of being able to believe the great deception.
Yeah. And boy, I mean, I think we've said this before, but it's already begun.
Yes.
I mean, it's going to be worse at the rapture.
I saw an article yesterday, Dan, that supposedly, I don't know how they get these figures, but anyway, is it Gen Z or I don't know, whatever, generation, whatever they want to call it, 30%, I think they're talking about the younger generation, 30% of them claim to be somehow or another involved in a transgender situation.
Yeah.
Now, that can only happen because of a demonic oppression that's coming upon the world.
And I'll tell you this, too. People don't realize this is coming through the schools.
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
No kid just suddenly realized, you know what, I think I'm a boy. No. Or, you know.
I mean, even growing up, we had girls that we called them tomboys, but they never thought they were boys.
Right.
They just knew they were girls that liked to do some things that boys do.
Yeah.
It didn't mean that they were wanting to be so. But today, oh my goodness. It's
being pushed and pressured through the school system.
Yeah.
And not all the teachers, but a lot of the teachers are in on this and are promoting it, pushing it.
Because it's the woke thing to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's sad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
then they've got some people that have been like that guy that won a gold medal who now thinks he's a woman. I don't remember anyway. They've got these different people, and they've got people in the Hollywood crowd. You put that together with as Rush Limbaugh said, a skull full of mush, and it's not too hard through the educational system to produce what we're now facing.
Well, with that in mind, there's a quote, I won't get it right, but the quote is something like this: why are you upset when you send your child to Caesar's school and he comes back as a Roman? I mean, that's what happens.
Yep.
My kids, I got five children. They never spent one day in the public school. I call them government schools. That's what they are.
Yeah. Oh, your poor children. And they must be so uneducated.
You know, they used to say, you homeschool your kids. What's going to happen to them later? Yeah. Our kids still know what men and women are, the difference in men and women. We got a Supreme Court justice that said she's
not. They don't even know.
She said, I'm not a biologist. I can't tell a woman from a man. Now, the lady should have asked another question.
Are you a mother?
Yeah. But, it's. I'll tell you, the one thing that keeps going through my mind is that fairy tale about, it's a Hans Christian Andersen, I think. The one about the emperor has no clothes.
Oh.
And famous fairy tale from years ago.
Yeah.
And, boy, there's truth to that. He had no clothes on. Nobody would say it. Everyone knew it, but nobody would say it. No one would believe it.
Yeah.
Until this little boy at the end there, a little boy said, you ain't got no clothes on. It took a little kid to wake everybody up. And that's where America's at today.
Transgenderism of today is another one of the signs that we're at the end of this age, because it's a part of setting up for a great delusion of the tribulation.
Well, get ready, Don. I want you to tell the folks about the need, the bill coming due in about 2 weeks. But before I do that, Esther, thank you, Esther, for that. I'm glad you asked that question now. I didn't know how we were going to handle that at first, but I think we did good on that. I think we've helped some people with that. So, Doc, before we go to our next one, why don't you tell the folks about the need coming up in a couple of weeks?
Just in a couple of weeks, our bill, we pay our bill ahead of time. We pay 3 months at a time. That gives us a discount. Dan's been good at being able to deal with the people about this, and we appreciate them giving us that break to do that. But it's due, and we could sure use any help. Send us whatever God would lay on your heart. You can send it either a check or on the phone, or just get on the internet and do it right there.
There's donate buttons right there.
Donate button, and there are people that give to us on a regular basis, and God bless you. We could not be here going in our fourth year without you doing what you've been doing. Because we started with nothing, we about have nothing after we get through paying this month, and it's because of you people. Thank you very much.
Yep. All right, Aaron Fletcher suggested we do a show about, he said, you always talk about Genesis 6, what it doesn't mean. Can you tell the people what Genesis 6 does mean? We're talking about the sons of God, the daughters of men. And by the way, he went on to say that he agrees with us.
Sure.
He's not just trying to cause trouble. Mm-hmm. But he says sometimes we tell everybody what it's not, but
that's because we're always approaching it from Matthew chapter 24, Luke 21. Chapter number 6, first verse of chapter number 6, go back to chapter number 3 and take the last verse of chapter 3 and put the first verse of chapter 6 together, and you have the narrative. Chapter 4 and 5 is inserted
stuck in there
between
almost parenthetical
to show you that in spite of how things are going to end up from chapter 3 to chapter, no matter how that's going to end up, chapter number 4 is going to tell you how it gets there by the unrighteous people. Chapter 5 shows you the lineage of people and how that you can live righteously in spite of an unrighteous world. But it shows you, I believe, by the time you get to chapter 6, exactly where we are today. We hit this, I believe, a while ago in our update. People think that Christianity is going to finally get so good it's going to bring the world together and Christ is going to come. That's not the case, because just like it was in the days of Noah, it got worse and worse and worse until God said, I'm not going to let it go any further.
Yeah.
And then God steps in. And so chapter 6 tells you the condition that has finally gotten there from the last verse of chapter 3. It tells you now from that moment you have now gone 1,500 plus years. And it shows you how things fall apart in that time. And so the sons of God is obvious. We know that from the Bible's definition. It's talking about the believers. Yeah. And I believe we find in the New Testament very clearly, as well as we find in the Old Testament, the instruction that you're not to marry the unbeliever. But here's what they were doing. They were marrying unbelievers.
In other words, the sons of God represent
believers.
Saints, the saints.
Mm-hmm.
And the daughters of men, the reason he says it different is they're not children of God.
They're
daughters of men.
That's right. And because you got to go all the way back again to chapter number 3. And in chapter number 3, you get to the end of it. What do you get? You get to the judgment of God.
Now, some people say, and I'm not sure that I agree with it. I think I can see both sides, but I lean towards believers and non-believers, not the line of Seth or the line of Cain.
No, because...
And we get accused of saying, well, the sons of God is the line of Seth and the daughters of men are the line of Cain.
We follow chapter number 5, which is the sons of Seth. Yeah. But it is demonstrating believers. Does that mean that everybody and everybody's family was a believer?
No,
I doubt it.
Not.
Just because in our world today, there are a lot of born-again families that don't have all their children that are born again.
And only eight got on the ark. So there's a lot more sons of daughters of Seth than or
that's
than,
right.
Than, you know, sons of Seth.
And
than that.
It got down to only those eight.
Yeah.
No, it's talking about believers. John chapter 1, you know, verse 11 and 12. To those that believe on the name of the Son, gave you power to become the sons of God. And yeah. So it is a matter. Chapter 6 is showing you how the world from chapter number 3, 1,500 years later, got to the condition it was in. And because the righteous line will never overrule the unrighteous line, because the unrighteous line is the seed of the devil from chapter 3, and this world is under the power and control of the devil.
Yep.
The righteous will never overrule the unrighteous in this present world.
And doctors, one more solid proof about Genesis 6, mm-hmm. being saved people and lost people intermarrying, bringing upon God's judgment.
Right.
And that's the story of Balaam and Balak, right?
Yes.
And finally, at the end, he didn't want to curse God's people, but finally at the end, he told, is it Balak?
Balak.
It's confusing because their names are almost the same, but Balaam,
he didn't
curse God's people, but he told Balak, whatever his name is, he told him how to defeat Israel.
Yep.
Send them your daughters, intermingle with them, intermarry, and you'll destroy them.
And that's why when you get to the book of Jude, this is one of those that's brought up.
It's called
in the
book
of Jude.
The error of Balaam.
Because the error of Balaam is not understanding Israel's place in God's plan.
Yeah. And they intermarried, and it brought in sin.
It brought in the destruction.
Idolatry and all the stuff. Solomon did the same thing.
And people say, well, why would God tell them, Joshua, to go in and just slay them all? It's because what you're watching even right now with this Hamas bunch over there. They're ingrained from the time they're nursing on their mothers the hatred of Israel. And in those days, they were ingrained from the moment of birth all the way through to the diehard worship of some false god.
Doc, did you hear the speech from Senator Schumer?
I'm telling you, he needs to be censured.
Unbelievable.
He needs to be censured.
He trashed Netanyahu, the president, the duly elected president of Israel.
He needs censured.
Yeah.
But New York will never replace him because they're not any better than he is. So.
And, we're liable to suffer the wrath of God.
We're already suffering it, Dan.
Now, we're not going to do this one, but this is a good one. I want to throw it out there for us to think about for the future.
Yeah, because we don't have 5 minutes left.
We were asked, he suggested we do a Christian book recommendation that may be 5 books each and talk a little bit about each of those books.
Well, that need a little time on that.
But that's what our audience brings us. This is good stuff.
Go to my bookstore and you'll find it there. You won't find it in Dan's.
After you get done with his, come to my bookstore and I'll correct
I'm
all these
errors. I'm feeling a little bit better, folks. Amen.
Well, I'm giving you plenty of time to talk today, so we get you. Now, here's the tough one. I should have mentioned this to you before we started, because this is one that I haven't totally decided on. And it's really, I guess it is a prophecy thing, but not a big prophecy thing. And it's about the kingdom. And I bet you've heard this before, Doc. Van from Pennsylvania, our good friend up there, he said, could you discuss the difference in the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven? How many times have you got that question?
Once in a while you get it. And
now, I'll tell you real quickly what my...
There's a third one that goes with that people don't think about.
Well, let's not go to that one then.
But no, it's the family of God.
Okay, the family of God. Yeah, I understand that one. I haven't done it in a long time, but I'm pretty sure years ago I did a little study on it where you go to the same passage in Matthew you'll find in Luke or Mark. Mm-hmm. In one passage, it'll say kingdom of heaven. You go to the other book, the same story, and it'll say kingdom of God. So I kind of think they could be interchangeable, but I could be wrong.
Okay. Of course, anybody that's born again is in the family of God. In the Hiltabiddle family, there's a whole lot of the Hiltabiddle family that's already died in this world and are in heaven.
Yeah.
I have, I think the youngest one's just a little over 1 year, a grandchild. These are all in the family. Some are in heaven, some are here. So the family of God is different. And this is where a lot of people call it the church, when it's really the family.
Oh, right.
The Bible is clear that the kingdom of God right now, the kingdom of God is in you. Why? Because the Holy Spirit of God you are sealed with. The kingdom of heaven, I believe, is future, whenever all of us are together in the future in the kingdom of heaven.
Hmm.
Because right now, the Bible is clear that right now the kingdom of God is in you. And but there's a time coming when everybody that's born again, every believer from Adam on, is going to be a part of the kingdom of heaven
and
that's coming.
And I think that might be the rapture.
It could well be.
The bodily resurrection. That's the first time everyone's part
Everybody's
of the church.
Everybody's going to be
moment.
Together.
Yes. Not everybody's in the church.
And that's why if you study the word ecclesia in your Bible, church, translated church, out of the 118 times, only three have nothing to do with a local independent
group.
The
church of the firstborn is one of them. Yeah.
Because
it's about the church as it is in heaven.
The church of the firstborn is tied with the family of God. And these are tied with the kingdom of heaven to come.
Yeah. And back to that family thing, and I'm glad you brought it up. You have to be born. I had to be born into my family.
Absolutely.
My mother had me
March
5th, 1960. Yeah. I was born into the human race.
Amen.
I realized I was alive for 9 months before that, but and it's the same thing. That's why Jesus said to Nicodemus, "You must be born again to get into this kingdom."
Absolutely.
Just like you're born into the family of humans,
yeah.
I have to be born into the family of God.
And a lot of people today, and maybe we ought to do a show sometime on it, but there are a lot of people today that use the word church, and it kind of grates me because I know the church in the Bible is always a local assembly. And they use the word church, not realizing they are really talking about the family of God, and they're not the same.
Right, exactly. All right, well, we're out of time. Let me just share a few of these we're going to hit on maybe next week. I'm not sure. Marcia wants us to talk about the flat earth and stuff. I call it the flat earth nonsense.
It's pretty flat.
And we may talk about that. And I can't read my writing. Signs that we should be looking out for. Esther, again, asked that. We may look at that. Somebody asked that we talk about creation a little bit, and we can do that. The spirit of fear and anxiety that people are having in the last days. Let's hit on that next
time.
Well,
that'd be a good one, because I can answer that question. You can, too.
Okay.
Well, time's out, my goodness.
And there's a few more, but we're out of time. Thanks for watching today. We'll see you next time. Keep your eyes on them skies.